This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Live from Florida's capital city, this is the Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness on Real Talk 93.3. Now, stop what you're doing and listen closely. It's time for the Jeff Cameron Show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Two libations Friday rolling on Jeff Cameron Show 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV as well. If you want pro day updates, our man Ira Shafel is there. Others from warchant.com as well. You can go check it out on warchant.com. Pictures and all the good stuff. I had a great chance yesterday to talk with once again, talk with Ernie Sims, and he's in great spirits. Fun to watch, see him out there and being a part, being back with this program and working hard. By the way, if you wanted, we had some questions, Tom, in there about times and updates and all that. All of that is over there on the website, warchant.com. Bench press, for example, Trey Benson did 22, 23, something like that. Tatum Bethune did 19. Akeem Dent, 16. Kalen DeLoach, 23. Dimitri Emmanuel, Big Meech, who we had on the show recently, 21. Fabian Lovett, 26. Casey Roddick, 27. Robert Cooper, 21. Rashad Green was out there, by the way. We got a snap of Rashad. And then I'll get you updated on some of the other numbers as we go along. But it will be... Well, it'll be written about, certainly, and any report coming from that. I was not there today at Pro Day, but we had plenty of people out there from Warchant. So you go find it over there at warchant.com.
Yeah, one of the numbers specifically that Ira got, I don't know if you said it before the audio came on, was Akeem Dent. And Akeem Dent's 40 time was apparently in the high 4.3, low 4.4 range.
Doing some things, baby.
Yeah, that is awesome news because he wasn't invited to the combine. He's a long shot to get drafted at this point. Hopefully some teams saw some things that they liked today, so they bring him in for a personal workout. But if you're going to be running a 40 time in that range, and he does have the aptitude to play safety at a pretty high level, I would hope that maybe undrafted free agency might be a pathway into him making a roster. If that 40 time was a tenth or two slower, I don't know. You're probably looking at Canada or something else, but that will keep you in the conversation if you're around that 4.4 flat range.
He was 10.4 on the broad jump, 33.5-inch vertical. Most of the athletes out there today didn't do all of the things, so you may see partial scores and things of that ilk. You'll see a bench press, but you won't see a 40. You'll see a vertical, but you won't see a bench press or something like that. That can happen. Well, no, I think everybody pretty much bench press, but you get what I'm saying. It wasn't everything. By the way, the 10.4 and the broad jump for Akeem Dent would have been seventh best among safeties at the combine if you're looking for where he fit in. And obviously that 40 time is good. I don't know where exactly that would have sat with the safeties, but it wouldn't have been way down the list. I mean, if you're running 4.3 anything, you're moving. That's plenty fast. I'm rooting for him, man. He took a long time to come around and have a good year, but he finally did.
That was a kid who saw a lot of dysfunction in this program as well. I mean, tons and tons of dysfunction. And he was moved around from position to position consistently in his career. Had an issue with the hands. But then, there, you know, the best games that Akeem played were legitimately good games in the lore of Florida State safeties, Florida State defensive backs. I think back to the Miami game, 4th and 14 was one of those where he played fantastic football that day. And he's had some other performances like that. And the best thing you could say about him, and this isn't a slight at all, is that when he was not on the field, you noticed him more. Oh. When he was not on the field, because clearly he was doing a lot of things right.
And there was a certain other guy that had to take his place and didn't do those things right at all.
100%. It's like offensive line play. If we're not talking about you, you're probably doing something good. Secondary plays like that. I mean, I remember the knock on Xavier Rhodes for the 2013 draft being, well, where are the PBUs? Where are the interceptions? Nobody threw the ball at him. Nobody's, that's why.
Well, same thing happened with Jalen Ramsey. Is that who you said?
No, I said Xavier Rhodes.
Yeah. Jalen Ramsey had the same thing happen. Remember, people were like, where are all the interceptions? Well, nobody's throwing the ball at him. They know better. This is what happens with lockdown corners in college. Once you got a guy that's going to dominate the matchup, people steer clear.
So I pulled it up real quick on NFL Combine's results page. If you're just looking at the safeties, because they do split it up in the Combine between corners and safeties, the fastest laser time was 4.41 for a safety.
Hey, there you go. There you go.
The third fastest is 4.45. So if his laser time is low 4.4s,
there, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's top three speed with a top 10 broad jump. Okay, that'll play.
I'm rooting for him. Update real quick. Northwestern leads FAU 56-52. Good coach at FAU. Could be bounced in round one. Tournament's weird. You have a run for the ages a year ago, and now you may be bounced in round one. We'll see. But this is the thing about a tournament. And I always remind folks of that. I'll give you updates on other scores there, too. By the way, Tommy, doing all right now at the old Valspar Innisbrook Resort. I have both Mitchell and Justin Thomas. Thomas is at 5-under, one shot off the lead. Come on, baby. Let's go. Win Daddy some money.
It's still so weird to me to think that they played Innisbrook, because they could not get a PGA Tour event for the entirety of my childhood. They had the JCPenney Classic, which was the crossover event between the men and the women. And that's fine, but it's 10 minutes from where I grew up. Yeah. And I didn't grow up in Jupiter around the likes of some of the great golf courses in this country and Orchids of Asia, which is where Robert Kraft
was. Great massage parlor.
I didn't live in that place. I lived in Palm Harbor, Florida. There's a lot of palms in Florida. West Palm, Palm Coast.
Yeah.
Palm Harbor is not like, you know, the last bastion of great golf, but I'm proud of that event. I'm glad it keeps on kicking. I know this year apparently is the best field they've had too, which is interesting because, you know,
you just had an elevated event. Yeah. No, it's a good, it's a fun course to watch golf be played at, because it's hard. It's freaking really hard. And there's a lot of emphasis on where you miss, obviously, and obviously accuracy off the tee is paramount. Now, you could say that about a lot of courses, but I think golf fans understand what I'm talking about. There are courses you can spray it, and it doesn't hurt you. It's not nearly as penal. St. Andrews, for example, you could be three fairways over. You're just fine. But other courses, you know, got to keep it between the lines, my man.
I've seen a quote or two over the years of you know, pretty high caliber golfers who say that it's a great tune up for Augusta because of the precision you must have.
Where you gotta land.
Not necessarily. It's a
angles,
different place.
Yeah.
Central Florida is different than Georgia. East of Atlanta. I grant you, but just talking about the angles, the undulations of the green, the landing areas on the greens, like all those kinds of things, and it was really cool. It had its own page in history that for Tiger's comeback in the what preceded his Masters victory was this moment at Innisbrook,
right,
in Palm Harbor, Florida, in a tournament he never plays, where on a Saturday he gets all the way up to the lead. And I was lucky enough to be there as he did it. He chipped in for birdie on either 10 or 11, and then he made the birdie putt on the next hole. And it's the first time he'd had the lead since this most recent issue. And he walked by me in that moment in the pink shirt. I'll never forget it. And you could see like a little wry smile. He's like, I'm back, baby. That was a really cool moment.
The meme that's going around, or the reel that's going around that somebody put out, I think I sent it to you, where, you know, because Vince McMahon, everybody does the crying one where he's, you know, going like that. They have it when your grandson asks you, what was it like when Tiger won the 2019 Masters? You're like, oh.
I just did it.
can't do it.
It was, a morning finish. It was a Sunday morning finish. The bad weather was coming in, so it was its own little thing. And you're rooting like crazy for him. I got two horses in the race. One is Brooks, one is Tiger. And Molinari, effing Molinari, kept on saving par from these ridiculous areas for six holes.
Until 15.
Well, yeah. He also, 12.
12. Yeah, he messed up with 12 and 15, actually, yeah.
Oh man, that was something. I think they finished around like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
And we had all day to call each other and say, I really couldn't keep it together. I got to be honest with you there.
So our tradition, I won't be able to do it this year. I'm sad, but we'll get to watch Friday together after the golf tournament we have. I go to Corner Pocket because my wife had moved from Texas back to Florida. And the first thing we did, we didn't want to unpack. It was Master Sunday. So let's just go watch the Masters. So we went up to Corner Pocket to watch it, and that was the year that Sergio won in the playoff. And we had been there subsequently every year, and we're watching that morning, and there's this regular over there. He goes, hey, so are you really not rooting for Tiger? I'm like, no, I'm rooting for Tiger.
Everybody wanted to see it. Once he was in contention, you're like, oh, this could happen. Yeah, this could happen. Right. Like, when you got to that back nine, you're like, it's happening.
Well, and it had just happened the year prior at the British.
Well, he was right there.
He was right there. I was in London. We went to the casino in London. There are many of those. Sat down in the Heineken Lounge, and they turn on the TV. I know. I wasn't drinking Heineken. But they turn on the TV, and he's in the lead. I'm like, oh, my God. What in the hell?
Like, come on. Do
it.
That's
the famous story where Jordan Spieth is cowering, and Michael Greller has to tell him, why?
You're Jordan Spieth. Get it together. Yeah, that's funny. Real quick, one more observation I wanted to make about non-FSU stuff. And then I'll circle back to FSU because there was something on the boards here. The Heisenlinka law firm chat that I read, Tom, that I want to be able to mention here, circle back. But, okay, so this morning I spent a lot of time on the Ohtani stuff. And you and I talked about this yesterday and where this was going, and we were kind of joking around, right? This had a feeling of that interpreter and others in his camp may want to watch their health. We were a little worried about where this might go. There's a lot of money at stake.
Around a Boeing executive. That's correct.
That's correct, right? You know, the most shocking element of that story isn't the gambling debts of these people and the money stolen, which is a large sum, and all of that. What in the hell? This is a classic case of it's good to know somebody who's really, 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 really good at something and call that person best friend. Because my man that allegedly stole the $4.5 million or asked for it or whatever it was that he did is the interpreter, a well-liked interpreter apparently, according to the folks around Ohtani. He was being paid $500,000 a year to be an interpreter. You dumb SOB. How do you screw that job up? That is the greatest job. Over the years, we've pointed out being the sideline guy holding the wire, getting paid six figures to be the get-back coach. I'll be a get-back coach all day. Coach, you got to get back. Coach, you got to get back. Six figures? I get to stand on the sideline? Occasionally, I got to tell you to get back. Six figures. We identify these great jobs in sports, and we go, oh, man, that's the job there. That's the job. Back in the day when it was more commonplace to have a third-string quarterback, I'd be like, well, hell yes. Sign me up to stand there and hold a clipboard with zero shot of ever playing. Unless you're the 49ers against the Eagles in a playoff game. Everybody's hurt. You got bums running out there and a guy with no shoulder. But, yeah, like most of the – you're never going to play, and you get paid large sums of money. The rules in the NFL don't allow for you to crush long snappers, so you're not even going to get a hit when you snap the ball. You could be a 180-pound long snapper. Doesn't matter. You're good to go, and you get paid a lot. And damn it, man, there's a league minimum. If you stay in the league for 7 or 8 years, you're going to be a multimillionaire.
Correct, and if you can make two tackles a season, people think you're the best in the game because you get down there on the punt. Man, we've got the best long snapper in the business.
It's crazy, right? I mean – but so I yesterday in reading that story and then again this morning, I'm like, wait a minute, whoa, did I see this correctly? My man was making $500,000 a year to say he said he thought he got all of that one, but it came up just short on the warning track. Now he says he's tired. Yep. Now he said he's going to go home and get some rest, eat a good meal, and come back to the ballpark tomorrow. Yeah, good. He says, good question. No, he's not going to be able to pitch this year. That's what he said. Man, I'm making 500 grand a year to do that? If you're making 500 grand a year to do that, you should also have to drive him. You should have to feed him. You should, like, when we park, I would be like, hey, do you need me to wash your feet? I mean, 500 grand a year to be an interpreter? Sweet Jesus.
Through the relationships in Japan, you do basically act as though, yes, you're the personal assistant in all things, really. And you become the confidant and the best friend. It's the nature of the business, which is why he didn't do a damn thing. He is being paid $500,000 so that in case of emergency, he's the glass that they can break. There is no way. And the timeline of that is still so shaky. You got a spokesman for Ohtani whose initial response to questions was, well, Shohei was taking care of his friend's debts, followed by a recanting saying he knew nothing about it. Wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. He didn't know anything about these payments and these wire transfers. This is a massive fraud. It is theft and fraud of a certain kind, but not the kind that they want you to believe. There's going to have to be a mountain of evidence for me to believe that this guy was one rogue actor who ran up 4.5 mil of gambling debts. Just couldn't be. Can't be.
This guy, I saw a tweet yesterday that cracked me up regarding this case, and it was Jeff Israel, I think is the guy's name. Welcome back to SportsCenter, presented by ESPN Bet. For more on the Ohtani situation, we go to our FanDuel MLB insider Jeff Passan at our DraftKings studio in Los Angeles, brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook. Jeff, how could something like this happen? That's well done. Really, really well done. But honestly, there's a lot of weird stuff here that is going to take a long time to parse. But I think we had it right yesterday, which is to say somebody's going down for this and it's not going to be Ohtani. Whether he did it or not. Now, if he didn't do it, great. He shouldn't. And I don't want him to. Obviously, he's the face of baseball right now. And again, if he didn't bet on baseball, I don't care. But it's in there, you know, he would be suspended regardless because you can't write that check for gambling debts, even if it's on, say, basketball.
Apparently, in the fog of this war, also one of the initial claims was that the translator didn't know that this was illegal, which that dude has lived in L.A. for decades. He knows what the difference between a sports book on a phone is versus an illegal bookie, because this is an illegal bookie. This is not an app that they ran up a bunch of debt to. You don't run up $4.5 million of debt
right
on a phone app. Can't happen. Can't happen. So, yeah, the reason I am so suspicious is because they've already changed their story like three times in the first 2 hours of the reporting. If you go back and you look at the timeline, that is not a either that's the least buttoned-up operation for the richest baseball player in history ever, and they're both acting at the same time, or there's something fishy.
Well, here's the thing, okay? Look, as of right now, the interpreter, you just have to find out, was he betting on sports other than baseball? Major League Baseball cannot take his or Ohtani's word on this. There'll have to be an investigation to find out if he, in fact, did bet on baseball at all. Or did he bet on something else, and was he the one making the bets, or was it Ohtani? And at this point, they're going to have to just figure this out in an investigation. And until we hear from Major League Baseball, there's really nothing any of us can do save for reading what the attorneys say and what the quotes are. And if you summarize this very quickly, and I'll make this brief because it could go longer, but the official story from Shohei Ohtani's attorneys is that Ohtani was the victim of a massive theft. Okay, that's where this started. That's the first thing we heard, okay? So the statement didn't say, the attorney's statement did not say at the time, who committed that theft or even how that theft was committed. Now, they accused later on Mizuhara of committing said theft in order to cover millions in gambling debts. That's the next thing that happened. That he incurred with Matthew Bauer, the Orange County, California bookie who's under federal investigation. Okay, so that, for people who don't know, that's the crux of how this all started. Starts out as, hey, Ohtani's the victim of a theft and fraud. They don't say who. And they don't say how. Then they name the guy. And then they say, well, this is who he owed the money to. They don't describe initially the mechanics of the theft. But they report then that it's $4.5 million in a wire transfer sent from Otani's bank to a bookmaker operation. So that's a problem. Now we have a problem here. This is a big problem. So, look, the attorneys, look, we don't know if it was it all a lump sum? I don't know. What, $4.5 million? Or was this over a long period of time, like many small ones? We don't know. Because, Tom, that would be a little bit more believable, right? That this was accrued over a long period of time in very small amounts?
It would bring into play, yeah, perhaps the possibility of a third party being involved if it was in smaller increments, sure.
Okay.
But what the LA Times has reported, and again, there have been, the guy has done a couple interviews, one of which was with Lebatard and friends, but he said, we've been covering this for a long time because there was a gambling ring that involved, I think it might have been Puig.
Like this, yeah, Yasiel Puig, that's correct. Yes, yes.
So it goes back years, and there was Otani's name was potentially tied to whatever that ring was even then. They're following it over this period of time. And then the way the reporter worded it was, because he was asked, do you buy it? And he said, well, I can't speak on that. This is, I have to run with what they say. Now, does that mean that's the end of the story? No. So that tells me that they are still either verifying or vetting or polishing up the language on whatever's coming next. And the retort to the Otani camp's official stance, which changed like twice already, will be the interesting thing. And I can't wait to read what it is. I'm totally fascinated.
Final thing on this, wire transfers, as we all know, it's not like DoorDash. You know, this isn't, as one writer put it yesterday, I can't remember who, it's not like Venmoing your weed dealer. This is a different deal. You cannot affect a wire transfer, certainly not a multi-million dollar one, without paperwork and verification. You can't affect a wire transfer on behalf of someone else without explicit authority to do so, which entails even more paperwork and authorization. So Otani either affected these transfers himself or gave Muzuhara authorization to do so, or Muzuhara committed a brazen, massive fraud via one transfer or many, and this will be something the investigators are able to get to the bottom of. I mean, that you can't, that's just common sense. We're just talking out loud here. Like, you can't do that.
No. My guess is if he's going to take the fall and they're going to claim, because they got to go the distance here. Like, he's either going to have to do time or they're going to have to send him to a different country where they can't get him. And then Ipe is just like, there, that's where he's going to be for the rest of his life. Can't go to America, can't go to Japan, just got to live in this third party country for the rest of his life because he was Otani's fall guy and it's understood. And it's almost like the end of one of the Batman movies where there might be a day where Otani's in that country, can't have contact with him.
He just does the nod. They're eating lunch.
He nods back, and then they go their separate ways and roll credits.
Or it's like when Butch lost all his L.A. privileges.
You lost all your USA and Japan privileges.
That was a tough one for Butch, but you know, at the end of the day, leaving L.A. after what had just happened seems like a reasonable request.
You got to get gone and stay gone, yeah, or else you're going to be gone.
Yeah, you hear me? Also, underrated part of that whole sequence of events in Pulp Fiction, the fat woman getting shot in the ass is still one of the best parts.
So that, and you know what Tarantino did, which is funny because now everybody has taken turns hating this particular logo, but she's wearing a Mickey Mouse shirt.
Yeah,
she's got a Mickey Mouse shirt.
It's so perfect. It's just perfect. That's what you see at Disney World. That's who you see at Disney World, buddy. Yeah. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Seminoles, we all know how important it is to score in the red zone, but are you prepared for success in the retirement red zone? 5 years leading up to your retirement date and the immediate 5 years after are a critical time of thoughtful planning for you and your family. And our friend and fellow Knoll, Adam Tolliver, and his team at Artisan Financial Strategies are prepared to coach you to victory. Some of us, well, we're at midfield and want to plan ahead. Others are ready to punch it in on the goal line. Whether making sure you know how much you can spend without running out of money, protecting yourself and your family against rising healthcare costs, or carefully planning your legacy, the Artisan team brings a combined 30-plus years of planning experience and world-class resources to help you navigate the way. For more information, just head over to KnollRetirement.com. Now, that's one word, KnollRetirement.com.
The Jeff Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network. Check out WarChant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's WarChant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
Can't go wrong with a little Tom Waits, especially not on a Friday. Time to do it up, man. We've got to have to hit the queue here in just a moment. But first, as always, let me remind you about my good buddy Adam Tolliver is a fellow Knoll. That's what Adam likes to be identified as, a fellow Knoll, Adam Tolliver, but also a financial expert, and he is. And we know the importance of scoring in the red zone, as we say, but you got to be prepared for the retirement red zone. The 5 years before and after you retire, critical times of planning, obviously, for you and your family. That's why you're going to hit up my man, Adam Tolliver, and his team at Artisan Financial Strategies. Look, rising health care costs, you got to protect yourself and your family. You may want to plan out what your legacy is going to be, all that stuff. You got to have enough money, obviously, to live out the rest of your life if you're retiring. They can help you at Artisan Financial Strategies plan out that future. And they have over 30-plus years of planning experience. All you do, if you want to know more, is go to KnollRetirement.com. That's all one word, KnollRetirement.com. Go check it out. Several of you already have. If you're in between, you're looking for a new place, and you want somebody very, very trustworthy, obviously, when it comes to money, you got to go to KnollRetirement.com. Cue it up.
Welcome to the majesty.
Every freaking rep.
The elegance.
To win the game. Oh, he hits the upright. It's no good.
You have entered.
Someone burn down the funeral home. You burnt the funeral home.
Lives will be changed.
Sideline! Touchdown! Unbelievable!
Mothers will cry.
When you see your players give all that they have and you lose that way, it's tough.
Legacies are etched into eternity.
I know who I am.
North, South Dakota was his brother from West Virginia.
This is the Red Zone.
That's good to know.
All right, brother, what do we have for our red zone questions today? I didn't get a chance to talk to you beforehand. I'm kind of curious what your angle is.
It's all over the place. It's all over the place today. Three questions, three different spheres of Florida State sports or non-sports. So we'll start with the first one. Will Florida State's legal proceedings with the ACC end before the 62-day event known as the ACC kickoff in July? What do you think?
No.
Okay, well, so that's interesting because in the first hour you sounded bullish, like this might be coming to a head. But you don't
I think it's coming to a head, but you know, the law moves very slowly. Court system takes forever. We have a judge today saying that he'll have an answer in North Carolina before the April the 9th date that was on the calendar for Florida. So for that case, so I we'll see progress, but I don't think that it will be done.
All right. Second question is about Akeem Dent. We just talked about him and how if his 40 time is indeed under 4.4, he'd be the fastest safety in this class, in this draft class. So with that in mind, over under 0.5 non-garbage time snaps in the NFL for Akeem Dent. What do you think?
Oh, over. Yeah, I think he's going to play. I think he's going to make a team, and I think he's gonna get significant snaps. So I don't know about significant. He's going to get snaps that matter. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I think he will. By the way, legacy helps too. If you have a father or anybody like that or family members that have played in the league or relatives of any kind, I think that, oddly, that plays a little bit in GMs' minds.
Third question. FSU baseball and Clemson are a washout tonight. This is a PSA for the listeners.
I'm really pissed about that, by the way. I was so pumped for that game. So pumped.
Me too.
And also, I hate doubleheaders, Tom. I hate them. I mean, I not as a fan, like going to them, but what they do to the nature of the series, I don't like it.
It was supposed to be an 8 o'clock first pitch tonight. It is now 1 o'clock tomorrow, doubleheader. The second game begins 60 minutes following the first game. So if you're trying to schedule out your day to watch some Noles baseball, that's how it's going down. 1 p.m., 60 minutes after. So your confidence level that FSU wins the weekend series?
Oh, it's high. I think they're pitching well enough to take 2 of 3. Yeah, I don't like doubleheaders. It's very hard to sweep doubleheaders. I think after tomorrow it'll be 1-1, and we'll take the Sunday game.
I think it increases, actually, in a way, it increases the chances of there obviously not being a sweep one way or the other.
Sure.
The doubleheader. But it also puts you in position that if it goes chalk, you trade 1 for 1 tomorrow, that you're in a rubber game. And at that point, if we win the Sunday game, we're, again, it doesn't matter. It's all about hosting a super regional later, but you're a top five team. You're a top five team in the country just like that.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think they are. I think that's the quality of club that they are. I think that this is a good baseball team. Listen, we're going to encounter some rough waters at some point. Could be this weekend. You know, who knows? We know that when you play better caliber teams, the upper echelon of the ACC, by the way, the upper echelon of the ACC is very, very good. Whether you're talking about Clemson or Wake Forest or Duke or Virginia, there's a lot of good baseball in this conference. Not a lot of great basketball in this conference, but a lot of good baseball in this conference. So you're gonna somewhere along the way have a tough weekend. Let's hope it's not this weekend, but I think we're a real good baseball team.
All right, so a bonus question, because we usually do four downs. So here's the bonus question. They're going in shells tomorrow, so padless football is over. I think Mike Norvell said they might do it on Sunday after the spring game, like one more time where they don't wear any pads. The biggest winner or the guy that comes to your name first as the most impressive in no pads of seeing two practices is whom?
Oh, you know what, Dustin Hill. I said it at the beginning of the show. He's been lighting it up. He's killed just about everybody he's gone up against in one-on-ones. You know, by the way, I don't want to – I mean, it happens. I don't think this is – again, I don't think I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. You know who he torched on one of those plays? Azarrie Thomas. So it's not like he was going up against a freshman. You know, this wasn't Charles Lester III. I mean, he was torching a dude who, by the way, AZ's other reps have been really good. So – I got to say, that seems like something that translates. A lot of the stuff we see out there with no pads doesn't always translate. Matchups between receivers and DBs do. That doesn't change much when you put the pads on.
DJU's performance against your knowledge of what he is going in. Is he about what you expected? A little bit, need some time in the offense. Is a little bit better. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's what I expected. He's got a cannon for an arm. We've seen those throws that you know are in there. He's missed a couple of guys that were wide open. We've seen those throws at every one of his stops. He's been, according to Mike and others that would know more than me in the locker room, he's been a very good leader. But we've been told that he's a good, hardworking kid who's smart. He wants to set the right tone. He's kind of been exactly what I thought he'd be. And he's getting to know the offense. I mean, imagine this is your first 2 days out there running this offense. So, you know, we'll see. He'll get better as time goes on.
I'm out of questions. I had two bonus questions, but I figured I'd ask about DJ because he's winning over fans left and right. That interview yesterday, like his first one, when it was the newcomer interviews, you could tell he was kind of nervous, just getting to a place where, you know, say the things you need to say. Yesterday, he was comfortable in his own skin, and I was listening to the clips, and actually my wife Jamie was within earshot, and she said, "Who is that?" I said, "That's DJ." She said, "Oh, I like him." Like, just even already. So between he and Benson,
yeah,
I think you got yourself a connection of a couple of guys the fans are going to latch on to, because we're losing quite a few of those.
Go to NoleRetirement.com. You'll see when you do, atop the banner there, building a winning game plan, scoring in the retirement red zone. There's a nice little video for you to watch to make smart decisions for you and your family. And then you can also join an email list so you can get a retirement readiness assessment. And so there's a lot there. You're not just going and seeing a picture of Adam. You're seeing what they do: financial planning, estate and legacy planning, risk management, investment management, business succession and exit strategies. All this stuff is there just by going to NoleRetirement.com. Do it today. Get that email. Get righted. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey gang, Tom here. You know from the show that I'm a huge golf nut. I live it, I breathe it, any spare time I have, I'm on the golf course. That's why I think it's pretty cool that the folks at PXG picked up on that. PXG says nobody makes golf clubs the way they do, period. I've seen the ads just like you, but I was skeptical for a long time about giving them a try. This week, I drove up to the PXG store in Westchester, New York, and I was blown away. Nobody I've seen makes club fitting more personalized. Truly. Period. The setup was private, it looked and felt VIP, and they put me to work giving the Black Ops driver a test run. That's right, the new driver, the PXG Black Ops driver. Short answer, it plays. I'm not a super long hitter, but in neutral conditions, I can carry it around 240, 245, give or take. Hot weather, maybe a little bit deeper. So I figured I'd be seeing things in the 230s when I went for the test run. And I did. I started out slow, but then the personalized fitter tweaked my weight distribution in the club head, they got the club shaft in line, and they dialed me in. And the Black Ops driver plays. I was launching it in my range, consistently carrying it over 245 yards within 25 swings, and it didn't feel weird at all. It felt actually very comfortable. PXG says more forgiveness, more distance, no sacrifices. I can see it. I was rusty. I really wasn't on my game today, and they bailed me out to the tune of serious yardage. I can't wait to see how long I hit it once I'm in springtime form. Game changer has been thrown around so much, it's lost its meaning. Trust me when I tell you that the PXG driver is a true game changer. You'll be as impressed with it as I am. Learn more and get free shipping on all equipment at pxg.com/Cameron. That's pxg.com/Cameron for free shipping on all equipment. pxg.com/Cameron.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. By the way, you should try Factor. I do at my house. 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart Protein Plus and Keto. Whatever you do for your food, I will tell you that Factor works on the go lifestyles, that's for sure. More than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled, feel good all day long. I like it. Two-minute meals, fuel you up fast, pre-cooked, right? You heat them up, ready to roll. Got pancakes and smoothies and other stuff too, but it's a no-prep, no-mess meal situation with Factor. Factor meals are ready to heat and eat. That's what I'm talking about. No prepping. I don't have time for prepping. Flexible to your schedule. My kids love it as well. If they're busy and they're on the go, I say, hey, go get you a Factor. Sign up and save right now. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is a dietitian-approved, nutritious one. So here you go. At thefactormeals.com/Cameron50. Factormeals.com/Cameron50. Use code Cameron50 to get 50% off. That's huge. Code Cameron50 at factormeals.com/Cameron50 to get 50% off. Do it. I'm telling you, I love it. You will too.
The Jeff Cameron Show is a production of the WarChant.com Multimedia Network.
Check out warchant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's warchant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
Let me tell you about a place somewhere up in New York way.
Bow, bow. Before I get to, I meant to bring this up yesterday. Interesting nugget for you involving ESPN, money, college football, all that stuff that we talk about on a regular basis. But first, attention, Florida. Are you a victim of an auto accident? We introduce our live chat sponsor. Of course, we've talked about him often. Heisen Link, a law firm dedicated to representing injured clients statewide. If you've been in an accident, call Heisen Link, a law firm at 813-803-0733 for free consultation. Remember, there's no cost to you unless they win. Your interests come first with Heisen Link, a law firm, the name you can trust for justice. Call 813-803-0733 now or visit HeisenLinkLawFirm.com. Heisen Link, a law firm, your advocate in times of need. Offices, Tampa. Here's the nugget that I wanted to read, and I thought it was, Tom, you'll raise an eyebrow here. Texas's most recent agreement to join the SEC, the version dated May 15th, 2023. This is the way it looks. The only redacted item in the agreement from the piece that I read is the dollar amount of the deposit application fee given to the SEC. Here we go. Notable provisions in the agreement. One, ESPN will make a transition payment to Texas that shall pass through the SEC, which is above and beyond what ESPN was scheduled to pay the SEC. That payment should be made by July of 2024 through July of 2025. In essence, they're paying the fee that they had to pay to leave.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Well, what do you know? So the $50 million that they had to pay against future earnings isn't even paid by them at all. ESPN's going to pay it for them.
Yep.
Now, I didn't even know that, and I was doing backflips just knowing that there was a number on this thing. And I felt that the moment that that number came out, that we're going to be A-okay. It's just that the clock is ticking. We're getting out of here. It's faster than I thought. But I didn't know that ESPN would outright facilitate the money, meaning the SEC, would facilitate the money to move them from the Big 12 to the SEC. That's very kind of them. How benevolent.
Yeah, I know. Pretty interesting, right? And also, by the way, the university and the Texas Attorney General deemed all of this too sensitive to fall into the hands of potential competitors. UCLA disclosed it paid the Big Ten a $15 million deposit, and likewise, Oregon disclosed a $7.5 million deposit with the Big Ten. No departing members of the Pac-12 paid deposits to the Big 12, with the University of Colorado receiving $2.5 million to sign as a bonus. And so you can get into the – this is kind of interesting. Texas will not receive any distributions from the SEC in the 2024-2025 fiscal year. Beyond travel expenses for participating in tournaments, the SEC will pay Texas a 16th share of any incremental college football playoff revenue received in 2024-2025 over that period. And then basically the Texas SEC agreement – that what's not found in that agreement, but found in the Big 12 and Big 10 new member agreements. Termination upon a material change in conference membership. Warrant that the conference did not initiate communication with the university regarding membership, by the way. Warrant that the university is not under investigation by the NCAA. Cap on travel expenses, et cetera, et cetera. And borrowing against future media revenue distributions. So there you have it.
Did you hear about Colorado's television rights, though? They're not going to be broadcast at all. Colorado games because Deion Sanders doesn't want to be in anybody else's homes. Coach Prime, they got to come to his house. So I don't think the game's going to be broadcast in any homes anywhere. He doesn't want to go there. He doesn't want to be there.
Didn't hear that, Tom. Didn't hear that. But yeah, pretty fascinating. When I read it, I thought I should share this on the show. People need to know the SEC is paying off the money that Texas was going to owe. Which I imagine, you know, depending on what we have to pay, there'll be some help along the way as well.
One of the other exchanges that I saw again by Rohan on Twitter there between the attorneys and the judge today, the SEC was willing to disclose the amount of money it was paying to its member institutions. Like, this is part of Florida State's argument that, you know, if the SEC is willing to allow that to not be redacted, and they're out in the open with ESPN saying, here's how much money we're giving to our member institutions, what is the ACC so afraid of? Why do we have to have all these redacted lines? What's the secrecy about?
I'm curious, the breaking point. It's got to be North Carolina, correct? When North Carolina says that they're going to sue the ACC, this is over? Meaning that at that point, if you're the other member institutions, don't you go to Jim Phillips and say, okay, now's the time to broker the deal to get the money that we need to be the conference that we're going to be when these teams leave, because they are leaving. And this is fruitless. We're made to look bad every time another team joins the roster of those that are suing us. Let's suggest a number and see if we can't get this worked out. I mean, that's where this has to be at this point. If Carolina, and judging by the language used from some of their higher-ups in the last 48 hours, if Carolina is going to now, I mean, it's the heart of the league. If they do it, doesn't the negotiation begin immediately? I would think.
Yeah, I would think so. I just, in moments like this, sorry, my mind wanders and it reflects on the Boston College Athletic Director's office and the phone that doesn't ring, except if one of the Christian Brothers or Father Quinn has to come to check in for a meeting. Otherwise, the phone never rings. The athletic director is there saying, well, I hope we win the bean pot this year.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm just sitting here. Nobody's calling me. And let's just hope that we can collect checks. And if we don't, hopefully we get a nice settlement check. That's literally what that athletic director is doing when it comes to moments like this. They're just watching and saying, wonder how long we get paid. Wonder how long before I get noticed and people realize I'm worthless.
Yeah. Agreed. 77-65, your final. It went to overtime. Northwestern beat FAU. Meant to get that out there earlier. If you had FAU making noise in this tournament as they did a year ago, you're screwed. Other scores? Just so you know, we've got Marquette trailing significantly. That's a 2-15 matchup. Marquette being the 2, trailing 41-33 to Western Kentucky. UAB and San Diego State getting after 35-29. Just delayed over here for Stetson and Connecticut. Mentioned that final. Also, Barrel, you know some of the other scores. Baylor beat Colgate 92-67. A bunch of games later today, and I'll be watching them. Come on, Auburn. I need you to step it up. Let's go, Colorado. Take out Florida. Need you to step it up. Texas A&M tonight against Nebraska. Need you to step it up. Daddy will cash that 5-team parlay and tell everybody to suck it. It's going to be beautiful. Well,
you know what? Maybe I will watch some NCAA tournament with you tomorrow.
There
maybe
it
that's
is.
What we'll do. We'll watch some hoops together.
We will, man. There's the tournament's fun. I agree with you, by the way. I don't fill out brackets anymore. If you are a bona fide gambler, why would you? Just bet on every game.
It's a better way to do it. It's a better way.
Yeah, you get the same sort of sense of urgency that you always got with a bracket because you were looking at every game. You had an interest in every game because you picked every game, and you're in a pool with your friends or your parents or whomever it is, and you're like, oh, I got that one, and Larry didn't. Screw you, Larry. But that's how that went. But now it's like, oh, no, I'm not in a pool with anybody. I'm betting every one of these games, and I'm betting the next round, too, and the one after that. This is going to be awesome.
So we know some people in the community, you know, who like to wager on games, and one of our mutual friends I asked yesterday, I said, hey, how'd it go in that first run? Because the unders were hitting left and right. And I've got another mutual friend who really loves overs, loves to bet overs. And so I said, was our over guy? Was he shopping? Because he'd be feeling it right now. And the response was no, but he had a 3-team parlay and it hit. I was like, ooh, well, he dodged a bullet, because if you love overs, yesterday, especially the early slate, was not for you.
Well, if Director Matthew had a microphone in front of him right now, he'd describe for you what happened in a bet that reminded me, involving the same program, Director Matthew, when Tom got screwed over by the Tennessee-Florida result on the football field one year. Matthew had the same thing happen, was all set to the under, and then for some reason in a lopsided affair, we're playing transition basketball in the waning seconds where points are being scored left and right. It's like, what is going on here? It's not a race. You're up big. Hold the ball. It's beautiful to watch these things play out. That's 90
plus yards three times 90 plus yards, including a fourth down touchdown from the 10.
Oh, yeah. You know, I remember watching the touchdown in the corner of the end zone and going, oh, no, Tom. Because I knew the wager, and it's all fun and games when the guy has to sweat, but you don't root for your friends to actually lose bets. So when they scored on that long drive, I laughed. I was like, oh, well, Tom's probably just rolling his eyes because he's going to have to sweat a little bit, but no big deal. And then they scored again on another long drive, and I'm like, well, now it's getting downright uncomfortable. If they get the ball back, he's going to be really, really angry and nervous. And then it happened.
So Mike Norvell was in the middle of one of those. It was the Wake Forest bowl game. This is the year before Penn State, where there's like three kicks at the buzzer because there are timeouts.
Oh, my God, I cracked up.
False
starts. Because I was on the other side. I was on the other side of that bet.
Oh, my God. Then he misses it. I think it was make, miss.
Make, miss. Yes, it was make. Oh, timeout was called before. It was followed by make. Oh, timeout was called before. Followed by miss. No timeout called.
I will always bet on Tennessee, Florida, though, because I have one of the great beats of all time where I had the under in the game, and I think it's 7-3 at half, and it might be 10-3 at the third quarter break. It's really low scoring. Fourth quarter, both teams go nuts. They go to overtime. Oh, my God. So this is the ultimate bad beat. The only way I can win it is a field goal walk-off or a touchdown walk-off beforehand. They get the Anthony Richardson throw. No extra point. Hit the under by, I think, a half a point or two. So Florida-Tennessee is always going to be a banger if you like games that you just want to indiscriminately bet. Bet that game in September.
I see in the Heisen Legal Law Firm chat, as we're late in the game here, folks wanting to know like what that number would be. Briley astutely points out the problem is that the number has to be low enough that we'll say yes, but high enough to keep every marketable asset from paying it, leaving, and causing ESPN not to execute the extension in 225. I don't think ESPN is going to, and I believe this has all been decided. We'll see. The wrangling, the horse trading's already happened.
That's how I start my weekend.
I believe that ESPN college football playoff agreement was kind of wink, wink, nod, nod with Fox. Fox saying, okay, but we get FSU and Clemson. That's it. That's all. Good work out of you. Have a great weekend. Be good, everybody. Peace.